Good evening. Appreciate you being here tonight, especially as was mentioned earlier, if you're visiting with us, we're so glad you've come our way and you're here to worship God with us. Hope you'll do that from your hearts with us. For those of you that aren't visiting, thanks for showing up if you knew I was preaching. I don't get to preach a lot, and I know it's good for me to do that. That's what I've been told. But what I wanted to do tonight was just spend a few minutes looking at some things that are important to me, and hopefully it'll be something that you also can get some encouragement out of. I very much appreciated Rick and his comments that he made last week when he kind of went over some of the things that he got to experience and see when he was in New Zealand and Fiji, as he's done with us in the past when he came back from China and shared with us things about the church there and some of the difficulties that they face. And kind of like what Scott's prayer talked about tonight, the church is working. It's neat to see that. It's neat to be a part of that. And one of the things that I guess I really got out of seeing what Rick had to talk about and some of the pictures of a couple people sitting down in a room together or trying to make their own grape juice or having to come up with a place to find bread because they didn't have any the way that we do here, is how well off we have it. And I don't just mean physically. I mean how blessed we are to be where we are in the church right now. And I've worshipped at a number of different places before. And every church has things that they struggle with and problems. The biggest problem with the church is it's got people in it. But honestly, I have never been in a place like where we're at right now where it just seems to be clicking. It's working. We've got some good elders that are caring for us and doing their best to watch out for our souls. We've got two really good preachers. We've got plenty of servants, and I don't just mean the deacons. There's a lot of people here willing to work and do their part. And it's neat to be a part of that. And I hope each one of you can appreciate where we're at right now and can look at that and recognize the blessing that we have in that. And that's not to give the credit to you or to me. That's God's doing. Hopefully we'll all keep that in mind. But I guess that's part of my lesson. One of the things I get to do for a living, being a property insurance inspector, is I go to places and make sure they don't have the potential for a big loss to happen. And part of that is I get to review and go over their maintenance programs and see what they're doing upkeep-wise to make sure that what's working now keeps working. And I kind of want to talk to you about that tonight. What we have right now and the great blessing of how this church is working along, we have to be vigilant to keep it that way, because that could end at any time if we're not doing our part. If the elders aren't doing their part to make sure what's being taught here is true, things could sneak in that don't belong here. If we get lazy and we're not willing to work and do our part, if we get complacent and say we've done enough, it'll shut down. Some of the things that can happen sometimes is persecution, and we've seen some of that with Rick's discussion with China. And, you know, we don't see much of that here right now. And you might say, you know, we'll not have a problem with that. This is the land of the free. I don't know how long that's going to be. We may not see that in my lifetime that's left, but I think it's coming. If you see and watch the way that our society is slowly changing, the only message of the Bible that seems to be allowable anymore is the social gospel of I'm okay, you're okay. And it may get to the point where we actually see persecution or somebody saying, you can't tell us that we're doing something wrong. And you know, we have to make sure we continue to teach the truth according to what God has to say. But, you know, the persecution side isn't my biggest worry for here. Satan works in a lot of ways, and it's not just from outside persecution. I think we saw that in the New Testament church. He tried to stomp out Christianity, and it spread like crazy. People went everywhere teaching the truth. And really, I think the thing that we have to worry about is just like he told the Ephesian elders, watch out from within. And I'm not saying watch our elders because they're going to do something wrong. That's not even my point. My point is the things that can sneak in and get into the church that can hurt us are things that we can allow in here if we're not careful. And the things I'm talking about would be strife with our brethren, party spirit or division over things that really we have no business picking sides over. Laziness, I mentioned. Fear to do what we're supposed to do. We're tearing each other down on things. We want to make sure that we're each careful not to do that. And I guess that's what I want to do is encourage you to watch out and be vigilant and on guard that we're doing our part to make this work. And I ask you to encourage me on that. And really, that's the message of my lesson is going to be on encouragement. And the attitude that we're supposed to have towards helping each other get to heaven. I really wanted to take a look at a few examples of somebody that to me is a hero of mine from the New Testament. And it's a man named Joseph, or Joseph. He was a Levite of Cyprus. And if you don't know who I'm talking about, he was given another name by the apostles. In Acts chapter 4, and that's where we're going to spend some of our time. In Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 36, it says, "And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." And basically, he's not the only one here that we read about that was selling what he had to get money and help out new Christians in the area. But this is where we're first introduced to him. And the thing that strikes me is, how great would that be to have the apostles give you a new name, which means son of encouragement? I think that was the attitude that he had. And it's the attitude that I want to strive towards, and hopefully we each can, that we're looking out for and encouraging each other. I looked up the word encouragement that it used here, and I think it comes from paraklesis. And here's some of the definitions it gives. The act of calling toward to help, exhorting, begging to keep going, encouraging for the purpose to strengthen, to help establish a believer's possession of redemption and faith. It also gives the idea of coming alongside somebody that's in trouble to help them. And I thought that was worth looking at on what that means for this man, son of encouragement. And I just want to look at a couple of examples that we have on things that he did to help encourage people and see kind of through the eyes of our church here, if any of the things that we see with him are things that we could do ourselves to help each other. If you got a Bible, turn with me to Acts chapter 9. We're going to look at a couple verses here. Starting in verse 26, it says, "When Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out." And I'm sure most of you know the story here, but if not, Saul was a Jew that was one of those trying to stomp out Christianity. He persecuted the church, and Jesus came down and talked to him, and he said, "What are you doing, Saul? Go talk to Ananias." And Paul obeyed the gospel. Saul obeyed the gospel, and when he tried to join himself up with the people of the church, they were all terrified of him. And maybe rightly so. He had been somebody that was trying to persecute them, and they didn't know what to think of him and if they could trust him. And they were all afraid, except for one guy, Barnabas, who, it says, basically extends himself out there and gets to know Paul and introduces him to the church and to the apostles. And I just think that's something worthy of noting. Hey, Paul. Hey, Saul. I'm Barnabas. Welcome to the Lord's church. Glad you're here. Glad to have you part of our work now. Let me introduce you to some guys that are some good folks. These are the apostles. They walked with Jesus. They knew him when he was here on earth. Guys, this is Saul. Jesus came and talked to him, and he's obeyed the gospel now. He's one of us. You know what? They were then all on the same page, and they were together. And that was partially because of Barnabas' willingness to reach out to somebody that was new. And maybe he was afraid, too. But I guess I ask you to look at that from our point here. Do we have any opportunities for anything like that? And maybe we don't have anybody that's been persecuting the church that's just joined our number. But we've got some new members here. And are we doing our part to reach out and to get to know them? Hi, I'm Clayton. Glad you're part of our work here. Let me introduce you to some folks. It's not a difficult thing on the outside really to look at and do, but sometimes that might be a scary thing to reach out to somebody that you don't know and kind of take them in. But you know what? I think it's what God expects of us. And if you think we're kind of nervous and afraid, think of what somebody just coming in here and not knowing anybody here in the group, what they're feeling. We are supposed to be one. We are supposed to be one group. And the only way that happens is when we get to know each other and reach out to each other and become a part of each other's lives. And I appreciate the fact of what Barnabas did there in reaching out to Saul. It talks about in Galatians 3:26, it says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female." There's not in our church here, in the Lord's church, to be distinction of new Christians and old Christians. Any distinction that you can see that man might put on it, we're all brethren. Whether we know each other well or not, that's kind of our job, is to get to know each other that way. And that takes some effort on our part. So I think that's something that each one of us can probably try and do more like Barnabas, is reach out to each other like we should. In Acts chapter 11, we've got another example. In verse 19, it says, "Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who when they had come to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad, and he encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch." And you know, we've got a number of things here in this passage that we can look at. I think one of the things that's noteworthy of noting was when they found out that there were some new Christians that were Hellenists, maybe not the typical people Jewish-wise that they were used to, the first person they think of to send over there is Barnabas. Let's get Barnabas over there. He's going to be a good person to work with these folks and encourage them and teach them what they need to know. And it says when he gets there, he sees what's happened. It says he saw the grace of God. He recognized what was being done was God's work and that it was a blessing. It says he was glad. And he encouraged them all with purpose of heart that they would continue in the Lord. And he then goes and gets some help. He goes and gets Saul. They come back and it says they spent a year there preaching and working with them and helping them get developed the way that they should. When we look at what I think is a good thing going on here with some of the new Christians coming in, the new work, do we look at that and say, this is a good thing? This is what we want. Our job is not to just be a club, a close-knit group that all knows each other and just stays as we are. Our job is to spread the word and get as many people to heaven as we can be a part of helping to do that. And if it overflows this building, that's awesome. We'll get another building. We'll meet outside. We'll do what we have to do. But let's keep it going and recognize that that's a good thing and that's our part to do. He said he encouraged them to continue on in following the Lord. And that's what I ask of you, to each other, to me, to each of our new brethren. Let's encourage each other to keep going. And he went and got Saul, and it said they continued to teach them, and they stayed there a year doing that. Is there opportunity for us here to do that? Is that Rick's and Andy's job to do the teaching? And I guess there's different ways of looking at this. Yeah, Rick and Andy may get paid to preach the word, but that's not even necessarily what I see here. There's new Christians, and they were teaching them what needed to be done and helping them to grow in their faith. And I see lots of opportunity for that here. If you don't know of any, come talk to me, because I'm one of the guys that helps fill in the teachers for downstairs. And we're always looking for people that are willing to teach. And you may look at it and say, you know what, I don't know anything about teaching. Well, you can go sit in a class and watch somebody else do it, because there's plenty of people here that do a very good job of teaching. And you can learn. And not just in the classrooms here. I think it's important that as we get to know each other, hey, nice to meet you. Where are you from? What are you doing? What are you doing for lunch? Why don't you come over and get to know me a little bit and let me get to know you. And in the new stages of a Christian's walk is a very dangerous time that if we're not careful and they don't grow like they're supposed to, it's easy for somebody to fall away from the Lord in the early times. And that's not just from teaching here that we can do. Let's do classes in our house. Let's get together and just study the Bible with each other and help each other. There's lots of opportunities for that. And if you don't know of any places that you can do that or anybody that's looking for classes like that, I bet you could talk to Rick or Andy, because I know lots of them, or they both have lots of studies going on with lots of people. And they've only got so many hours in the day. And I don't see that as just their work. I see that as ours. We need to be able to do that for each other and help each other. It talked about him being glad. And I guess I would ask you that. As a Christian, what is your outlook? Are you happy? Are you a glad person? If not, I would ask why. What would we as Christians not have to be glad about? We've got a family here, hopefully physically, but also a spiritual family that we've got that we can turn to, that we can get encouragement from. We've got the promise of heaven if we're doing the best that we can. And I think, just like what I see with Barnabas, our attitude should be one outwardly of happiness, of joy. And that's kind of how I picture him. And I just don't understand if I see people that are children of the Lord that don't have that attitude. They got a scowl on their face, or they're just not seeing the good of what's in their life. That shouldn't be us. I just don't see anywhere in that. And even persecution shouldn't do that to us. When we looked at Paul and Silas when they were singing in jail, that's the kind of attitude I think we're supposed to have, one of gladness. Ephesians chapter 4, I want to look at briefly. There's a few verses there, starting in verse 11. It says, He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by whatever joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And you know, I know Rick talked about this a little bit this morning with the idea of milk, of who needs milk and how you can sway somebody maybe when they're a babe. We want to get out of the babe stage as quickly as we can. And that's our part. That's our part with new Christians, is to help each other get there till we are a mature person. And I think when we get to that point, we're much better off at trying to keep things out that shouldn't be here in the Lord's church that can hurt us. I talked about the idea of teaching. And, you know, we may look at it and say, you know, that's somebody else's job. It's not mine. And the only thing with that is, I think the Bible in Hebrews 5 talks about, by this time you ought to be teachers. Hopefully we look at it that way, and that's something that we strive towards. Teaching is a daunting thing sometimes, to be able to sit down and talk about the Bible with somebody. But somebody talked about the Bible with us, and that's why we're here. And we should all get to the point where we're able to sit down and do that, and care about somebody enough to just reason with them from the Scriptures. And if you've never taught before, you're going to learn more by teaching than the person you're teaching. Absolutely. Every time you prepare for a class, you're going to know more about the subject than you ever did before when you go in to teach. So, anyways, I just encourage you to look at it that way. When we look at Acts chapter 14... One of the things that Barnabas did was he went with Saul on one of his missionary journeys with him. And he was there with him in the teaching of the gospel and the persecutions that happened. Basically, he volunteered for what needed to be done when there was stuff to be done. It says in verse 21 of chapter 14, when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. And again, not to beat a dead horse, but our goal is not just to get somebody into the church and then we're done. After they had done that, they went back to the places where they had taught, and they exhorted them, and they encouraged them, and they tried to make sure that they were still growing. And I see that as something that we can work on towards each other to help each other that way. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Read a verse out of that real quick. Most of you know this verse. It says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Again, there's encouragement there towards each other. Part of that is just being here just like we are now. I am encouraged by you being here. Hopefully every time we get together, that's how we feel. One of our prayers today talked about recharging our batteries. And really, that's really what we're meeting for, is to encourage each other and get each other fired up about what we know we have to do and keep the work going. So, again, I think that's part of the thing that we see with Barnabas, was his attitude in trying to encourage others. As I mentioned, he was willing to do what needed to be done. in chapter 4, one of the things he did was sold land and gave money to the apostles and said, here, use this for what you need it for. When there was work to be done out in the field, he went with Saul and said, let's go. Let's go preach. Let's go encourage people. Let's go teach people what we need to. I'm not sure what it's called, the 80-20 rule or 90-10 rule. It's some rule. I don't know my rules very well. 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. I don't know if that's true or not. I know I've been at a number of churches before where it seems like a few people are just doing a whole lot of the work. And I'm not saying that's the case here. I haven't gone through and counted who's working and who's doing what. I guess my thought is, what if all of us did the work that the 20% is doing? What if everybody was willing to do their part and say, you know what, I know something needs to be done. I'm going to do it. Sometimes I think it comes down to, okay, I know something needs to be done. Who's going to blink first? Because I know somebody else will take care of it if I wait long enough. And I don't want to be that way. I don't want to be, let's get a volunteer to step forward and all of us but one step backwards and leave somebody out there for, you've got to do the work. Let's do what Barnabas did. I know there's something that needs to be done. Let me help. Let me do what I can. And I think that would be something that's going to help this church continue to grow like it's supposed to. James 2, 15 and 16 talks about it. It says, if a brother or a sister is in need of clothing and food, and we say, depart in peace, be warm and filled, but we give them nothing, what does it profit? We haven't done them any good just by recognizing there's a need. There are some here that are in need. Shame on me if I'm not doing my part. That's something that I need to do, is step forward and say, you know what, I know this needs to be done. Let me help. Let me do this. And I encourage you guys to do the same. I think one of the favorite things about Barnabas that I appreciate is he was one that kind of helped resolve conflicts. When you look at the example in Acts chapter 15, we have some Jews that come down and kind of stir up some things and say, you know what, the Gentiles, they need to be circumcised if they're going to be Christians. And you know what? Barnabas and Saul stood up for what was right and said, no, that's not the case. And eventually they go to the source of where this is coming from, and they sit down and they discuss it, and they reason it through and get everybody on the same page. No, that's not what the issue is supposed to be. Here's what God says on it. Let's do this. Matthew chapter 5 in verse 9 talks about, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And as Christians, I think that's one of our duties, is peacemakers. And I talked about before, one of the things that can happen in a church, and if you've never been at a church where there was squabbling or there was a split or a division, God bless you. I hope you never see it. I have seen it. It's terrible. It's like civil war. It's brother disagreeing with brother over things, usually that have no business disagreeing over. Let's never, ever let that happen here. If we have any type of conflict with our brother or disagreement, God gives us ways to deal with that so we can keep from having division. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23, it says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. If you think somebody is upset with you or has something against you, and you know it, you're supposed to go to them and try and work it out outside of here, outside of worship. No party spirit. We're not to be that way. I see that example in Abraham with Lot, with, hey, our herdsmen are fighting over this stuff, and Abraham says, you take what you want, and I'll take what's left. I think that's the attitude as Christians we're supposed to have. Get rid of the conflict before it turns into a problem. Also in Matthew, in chapter 18, we have the other half of that. Verse 15, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he hears you, you have gained your brother. If he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to the church, to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. We saw if we think somebody has something against us, we go and talk to them and try and work it out. If we have something against somebody, we're supposed to go to them and talk to them and try and work it out. Either way, we're supposed to go and talk to our brother and diffuse any type of situation that can happen up front so that we are all on the same page. Let's never get to be like they were in Corinth, where they're disagreeing, I'm of Paul and I'm of Apollos. I'm of Rick, I'm of Andy. Sorry guys, you guys aren't that good of preachers. No, I'm just kidding. I don't think we would ever have division over something like that. Usually it's something sillier. It's something where somebody's feelings get hurt by somebody else. And let's not let that happen. Let's go talk to each other and work it out. And I think that's going to hurt Satan. Because he's not happy with how things are going right now. And he's going to do what he can. And let me just point out to you, if we've got things, we're bugged about things, or we're harboring hard feelings towards our brethren, it's working in here on us. Don't let that happen. You go straighten it out and get everybody back on the same page and keep going. I think that's important. And one of the things my dad used to say, and you probably hear enough things about what my dad says from Andy, but he says, you know what, when there's a problem, you can either be part of the problem or you can be part of the solution. And I would encourage each one of us to, let's be part of the solution when there's differences or disagreements. Work it out. Be a peacemaker. And that will keep this church going the way it's supposed to. Another thing that I like about Barnabas, and this will be our last point and we're going to wrap it up. If you remember, Barnabas and Paul had a disagreement over John Mark. Paul did not want to take John Mark on the second missionary journey. And Barnabas did. He said, we're going to take him. And they split ways over it, which is a sad thing. But I think the thing that I like about Barnabas is he was willing to give a second chance to somebody. And that's not to say anything bad about Paul. Paul had something he needed to do, and he wanted to make sure he had somebody with him that would continue to work with him. And he took Silas and did great things. Barnabas didn't quit the faith and go sit at home. He took John Mark with him. And as we can read later on, John Mark is a hard worker that Paul recognizes. Barnabas continued to help encourage him to do that. And I think when I read 1 Corinthians 9:6, Paul and Barnabas work things out later too, because Paul refers to Barnabas again. Is it important to give somebody a second chance? Absolutely. We wouldn't be here if we weren't given a second chance. That's what Christianity is all about. God gave us a second chance. I think we need to do that with any time somebody's done something that we don't think was right to us. How many times do we forgive our brother? We always forgive our brother. As long as they repent of it and they're sorry. And we need to be able to give a second chance to one another and to those outside and not just rule somebody off. God didn't do that to us. So really, that's the point of my lesson. I need you to help encourage me in a lot of ways. I need to see you smiling when we're here. I need to be encouraging to you. I need to get to know you better. And I apologize if I haven't done that. If there's those of you here that I have not got to know like I should yet. Shame on me. I need to do that. I need to reach out to you. I need to have you over. You need to do that with me. We need to be one the way God had in the New Testament times. We need to work out any differences we have with each other. We need to be willing to step up and teach or do whatever needs to be done when we know there's something to be done, not wait for somebody else to do it. And when we're doing that, we will be doing what God wants. We will be encouraging each other. So, really, that's the lesson. If you have not yet obeyed the gospel of Christ, this is a great time to do it. This is a good group of people. But this here isn't just what it's about. This is a benefit of it. Having the family here is a benefit of being the saved. What it's about is having your sins forgiven and looking forward to being with God in heaven someday. And God tells us how to do that. If we believe in His Son and that He came and died for us, if we're willing to put away the wrongs that we've done, the sins that we've done, and say, I'm going to go forward and do what's right, and tell others about that, confess it, and then we get buried in baptism, Jesus will wash away our sins with His blood. Very simple plan, but it's a great plan. And it will work if we do our part. If you've not done that, this is a good time to do that. If there's anything that we can pray for you about, we're here to do that. If you've got differences with anyone here in the congregation that you and they alone know, I don't want to know about it. I want you to go work it out with them. And let's all be on the same page together. And let's encourage each other. If we can help in any way, please stand, and we're going to sing an invitation song at this time.